right on the button.
Y'all ready? Okay, today's date is January the 12th, 2015, Lakeland Housing Authority regular board meeting. The time is now 6 p.m. Let it be noted for the record that legal counsel is on time.
Okay, we're going to begin our first meeting of January 2015 of the Lakeland Housing Authority's regular board meeting. Can everyone join us for the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As a moment of silence. Okay, thank you. We do have a quorum. Commissioner Saunders and Commissioner Robinson are not present currently. Will they be in tonight?
Commissioner Savage will not.
Commissioner Robinson indicated he may not. I saw him last night.
Okay, no problem. Has everyone had a chance to review the agenda? Do we have approval for tonight's agenda? Anyone need to add anything to it? Our agenda is approved for tonight. Okay. Now, has everyone had a chance to review the minutes from our December 15 board meeting?
Move their approval.
Second.
Okay.
Aye.
No, I had called.
Oh.
Any questions? Problems? issues?
Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner DeSastre?
Aye.
Commissioner Hall?
Aye.
And Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
This year, when I was
she first.
Oh, I was first? Oh, I didn't even remember. Listen.
There you go. There you go.
Okay. We have a public forum. The lady in the back with the brown shirt. See? Everyone look.
I thought I missed something.
Okay, we're out of the whole business. The LHA recovery plan update.
Okay. The recovery committee met on December 30th. Commissioner Smith and myself and the staff members were present. And we went over the presentation that they made, which was a very in-depth and colorful presentation, which indicated where we think we are. First of all, I think we want to certainly acknowledge that the work that the staff is doing really reduced individuals, but they're doing an outstanding job in making sure that the finances are being kept in accordance with our plan. We're not out of the woods, but we are tracking a little better than where we were. We did go over the COCC budget and the account balances. We also got a report on the environmental study on Arbor Manor, and both the extensions have been approved for Arbor Manor and 10th Street, and the language that we had discussed at our last meeting was included in the new revised agreement. I think that at this point, and because of the review, we didn't feel it was necessary to have that emergency meeting that we talked about, but we don't want to give you the impression that that means that we're not out of the woods. I think we still have a long way to go, but the committee has put together a plan that that we feel is on track. A lot of it depends on the fact of the disposal of the property. They have done all that they can to reduce the effect of on the COC budget of the reduction that we had to pay the $1.1 million that we had to move out. So I don't know if they've made copies for everybody.
Please make them now. That's
share.
That's my fault.
Sure. But while they're making the copies, that's kind of our overview. I'll defer to Commissioner Smith to see if he has any additions.
No, we had
we had some questions, and our questions were responded to appropriately, that we got the answers to the questions that we had. I didn't bring that set with me because I thought we were going to have another one here to refer to. So I can't remember exactly what the questions were, but they were.
I think
we were satisfied with the responses.
Yeah, right. The questions were around the environmental study. We had asked about to get a report on that,
yeah.
And that was one of the questions. And I'm trying to.
And some of, I think, the question on the monies that
have not been collected yet, the uncollected fees.
Right,
yeah.
That's what
The
uncollected fees.
And when we talk about uncollected fees, we're talking about the drawdowns from 21st Century Youth Bill.
Yep.
And their repayment funds, like the public housing section.
And any other funds that may have come out of the reserves.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The last meeting we discussed, we anticipated originally 400,000, but then we were down to 2-something after some additional occurrences came up that was disclosed at the last meeting. Did we ever get a fine number on that? Or?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I think.
We don't have a lot of wiggle room.
Oh, lights just went out.
Yeah, we had
the light bill.
We paid the bill.
That's an exclamation point on that test.
Did you do that?
Did I do what?
And again, I apologize for not having that included in there.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
In your packet. And had too long of a holiday.
If I remember correctly, that COC budget for 2014, we ended up reading that second page properly.
Mm-hmm. Just
from a cash flow standpoint, right.
We're just a little bit over break even.
Right.
Slightly. The trend that we were showing was how we were in 2012, 2013, and 2014. And if you look at the first presentation, you can see the COCC was really over budget by almost $1.2 million in 2012. And then if you look at 2013, it was over budget by $768,000. And 2014 was still over budget, but the difference was in the fees that you actually got from business activities. So the cash flow for 2012 was a negative $900,000. Then in 2013, we started having people leave COCC voluntarily to go do other jobs, and we didn't replace them, which got it down to $410,000. And the only reason why we saw 2014 actually have a positive overall budget was because we implemented the RIF, and so we were just above break even.
So that's the reason why we said that, you know, we're not out of the woods yet. We've got a little wiggle room, but we don't have a lot.
We did go ahead and take some funds that would have normally been paid in January and paid them in December to get them out of the way.
Right.
So that we start 2015 with no deficit, with nothing hanging over from last year.
So the committee is still working diligently. We have another meeting we'll be scheduling.
This month.
This month, right. Mm-hmm. And so we're staying on top of it as best as we can. And I just want to acknowledge that Commissioner Smith has been making himself available, as well as myself, to try to meet the needs of the staff during the day so we don't have to keep them any longer than necessary. But they're down to bare bone as far as staff. So this report really reflects a lot of work with probably half the amount of people, if not more, than what we used to have in the finance department.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then after your question, Mr. Assessor, we with ground reserves, we know we're getting close down there, but we think we have a handle on what we paid most of the bills that are due, and we don't, unless an unforeseen happens, you know, with the revenue that we're doing for the property that's going to collect on the rent and the like. fees and all of that, we should stay at break even or better.
Okay.
And we anticipate that that should continue to go up, provided that we are very cautious and careful, you know, with our spending and everything.
And it's not as big a guessing game apparently this year as it was last year, because the budget, the federal government already approved the budget. So last year when we started in the year, we didn't know what we're going to be getting. And this year we got a better handle on what we're going to actually have, so we shouldn't be getting hit with some of the surprises we got hit with last year.
And the other key thing of keeping the cash flow positive as we can is that, and at our recovery meeting, we really reinforced this, was that they've got to, on the first of the month, we draw down the due, because all business stops, and you put your bed and you draw down your money, because if you don't, you're going to be behind the, just like we were. You know, when we don't pay attention to drawing down when we're supposed to, it's just going to put you that further behind. And we can't afford to be behind now. Okay. So that becomes a priority. And I also want to mention that we did have at our recovery meeting that Commissioner Pimentel did come in, sit in on the meeting. So we were very thankful that he came and shared with us his insight, which was helpful. So that's our report.
Can we get emails of when those meetings are and the times, just in case we can fit into our schedules other board members?
Yeah, they're at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we hold them on a pretty
convenient. Yeah, because we
it's pretty short notice usually.
Yeah, because we would sometimes meet twice a month, like when we were doing writing recovery plan and everything. We have not got, like say, a regular schedule.
Oh, no, I mean, just whatever.
But we can do
you got to give notice.
Yeah.
We got to give notice. We might as well get notice.
We might as well notify everybody.
We'll start.
I mean, I can work one, or somebody else can.
That would be great. Everybody's welcome.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. More minds, the better.
That's right.
So our estimated balance is 304, 476 right now?
That's about it, yeah.
Yes,
that's right. So we are actually a little more than we thought last meeting.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the estimated balance right now.
Now, do we have any, no more unforeseen, sort of like when we thought we had 400 and then we had these unforeseens come up. Is there anything that we can see that may draw down?
In actuality, if we're able to collect the money that we are owed, that number should increase.
Go up, yeah, it should go up. But, I mean, if we don't, or if it's delayed.
Well, we already collected 17,000. We're waiting for 94,000, hopefully.
I'll add to that as well, with that we're constantly monitoring, and right now, and we try to predict where something may occur.
Okay, good.
And
proactive.
Right now, we don't anticipate anything unexpected, but in this business, you always have something unexpected or something happens. And the problem is not that something is how you react to it, and will you be able to do what you can react to it and handle it appropriately? And I think that we'll be prepared to do that.
And we stress that we want them to look at things from the worst case scenario rather than, you know, the best case.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. And if it gives you a comfort level, if you look at the handout on the, when it was going through, like, I think it's this, not the last slide, but the second to the last slide, where it was talking about uncollected deferred development fees, and then we talk about uncollected funds. When you look at the $304,000 balance that we have in Polk County Housing Developers as our reserve, that's factoring in, okay, yes, Youth Build and 21st Century have receivables on the books. If we don't get those receivables, that money's owed to COCC, not the public housing. So you wouldn't collect and you're still at the 304. The problems what we were having before is money was actually being taken from a public housing program, which you cannot do. So you had to take money out of Polk County Housing Developers, non-federal, to cover that back. The other thing that we have is with all of our partnerships, we have to do our audited financials and our taxes before March 1, because we got to file our taxes, as well as get the audits into the partnership. That triggers the SR1 form being filled out, and that lets the investors know how much cash flow the properties generated at the end of 2014. And that's when we'll actually start being in a position to collect a portion of the $3.4 million with the uncollected deferred development fees. One of the things you'll see when we get to the financial portion of the report, like West Bartow. West Bartow right now has $215,000 in cash. It owes us well over $1 million in deferred development fees, which is something that's in basis that has to be paid before we exit the compliance period. The investor has been very conservative, and even though we've been maintaining those cash reserves, all the other properties, Colton, Bonnet, the investor says, okay, you have the cash flow, we'll let you pull it out to pay your fees. Bartow hadn't been that way, even though it's $200,063. That's all, you know, that's how it was last year. The year before that, $75,000. So we're going to have to start really pushing back with Bartow and show them the benefit of we can't have deferred fees sitting out there because it's going to trigger an event at the end of the compliance period if you have fees left in the deal. And one of the things that is happening is our fee accountant will be on board. As a matter of fact, they'll be here tomorrow looking at all the things that we've been having issues with. They're a bigger company. They have people who can make those arguments as it relates to giving the investor motivation to have the same goals as the fees out. So we're going to try a different approach. I think for the past 2 years, we've been a little passive and we've accepted what they've given us just because, you know, we had a large reserve before we paid back public housing, $1.1 million, and wasn't trying to be confrontational.
We're not going to be confrontational. We're going to be assertive.
I think we'll be more assertive to try to encourage the investor to be more lenient with what they let us take out in cash flow, because they held that property for that money for 2 years, and they hadn't had, knock on wood, any emergencies at the property that would justify them having to keep it. So they need to be.
Yeah. And occupancy continues to be 95 to 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the things we are going to be doing to ensure we have a revenue stream, mm-hmm, is that the sale of these properties, if that's successful, you know, we'll use that to do some development. Mm-hmm. And we have a development partner, which we're going to piggyback on a HUD contract.
Okay.
To try and get a probably on the way by the end of the year, the end of this calendar year. And so that start construction, get the project started by the end of this year. And it'll either be 9% tax credit or 4% bond.
Okay.
I'm thinking it's probably going to be a 4% bond because that's a little less competitive, but we'll have to use more of the sales proceeds to do that. But that'll give us the best chance of being successful.
Mm-hmm.
And the developer partner that we are wanting to piggyback on with on the HUD contract, they have a great track record in Florida.
Okay.
With doing ALMs and the like. And so sometime in 2016, we can start seeing some revenue start coming in.
Yeah.
And then also, too, want to point out that, if I'm not mistaken, the Housing Authority was the first housing authority in the state of Florida to receive a tax credit award. So we're also going to be the first to have a tax credit project to expire. Okay, in the next year, a couple of years. And so the point I'm making is that I don't know if any housing authority has experience with direct experience with tax credit that have expired. And so, but we have some good partners. Carly Carney working with us, who has some experience with other deals with tax credit that expired, maybe to help us as well. And then also HUD, I think, is looking forward to that as well, because they want to convert, like say, the Coley want to convert that to public housing uses and stuff. But we'll make that decision at the appropriate time and do what's in the best interest of the housing authority. And those are the things that we are monitoring, I think, over the next year or two, to ensure that not, that's in addition to making sure that the existing properties, our managed property, rents collected, they're properly maintained and the like. And if we do all of that, we'll be okay.
Okay. So that's our report. In depth.
Thank you. I'd just like to add, when I attended the meeting, you can feel confident that they are vetting everything and they are asking the questions that need to be asked. So when they get to the board to give us their report, they're asking the questions that we all would ask. So I'm confident in that, and we should be thankful that Commissioner Smith and Commissioner Richardson are
very much so
putting in the extra time to serve on that committee. I do really appreciate the work that they're doing.
We didn't know what we signed up for.
Be careful with your volunteer,
right? You gotta be careful what you signed up for.
How about we triple their salary?
No, we don't want it.
Just give them extra bottle of water.
But after looking at this nice Happy New Year card that we got from Saxton and Gilmore.
Wow.
That's a pretty prestigious office that we're supporting there.
Good support, I like that.
But they only sent us one card. Can you?
It's a budget. It's a budget item.
You're doing pretty well there.
Did you mail us from Melbourne to us?
Actually, Don can tell you what you're doing. But let's see, we kept it down. We only sent one to the board.
I'm sorry. I put some levity into it.
Okay, we're up to the corrective action plan.
That's submitted.
Yeah, submitted. We had no updates, and thank you. Notice that I followed Commissioner's request last instruction. Make a cover sheet. Save a few trees.
Yeah, when I opened that up on the computer, I said, oh, there's not as many pages as you.
Okay. We're up to item number 5, new business. Any new business? Okay. Item number 6, secretary's report.
And one of the things I'm sure you've noticed is a new format for the reports. And because, as you all know, as part of the recovery plan, we did a reorganization of the agency. We felt that the packet should reflect that. And so that's why you see the change in the format. You'll see, like I say, the secretary's report there with the initially. And that's submitted as written, but I don't think there's anything in there this month to highlight it, unless y'all have some questions on it. And then next part will be the operation administration reports. And basically, you have an operation, you have affordable housing, which is basically housing, and then FSS and resident services. And then you have finance and administration, which is finance, contract development, and youth group. And so, hopefully, you all like that format. You'll still be getting the same information, and they're just doing a different little format that will reflect on the new organization structure. And so, we'll have any comments about that before I let them start their reports.
Okay, thank you.
That's good.
It does look good. Streamline. Okay, and let's see, there's something in there for the operation.
Yeah, I got color coded too, separated. Yes. So hopefully make it easier to follow.
So there's really nothing in there for operations to report or admin to report, right?
Yes.
Well, yeah, because like that's after the affordable housing is first.
Right.
Yeah, affordable housing is first,
yeah. And then the admin is after that.
Okay.
And that's where you'll find the finances in the public admin section.
Okay.
So, housing report.
Submitted the only changes that you're going to see is that we almost finished the year with all the property 100% occupied, but we had still two vacant units in Barstow. Every other property was 100% occupied, which it was a big push at the end of the year. In addition to that, you're going to see the resident activities, and basically for November and December, you're going to see that the activities, we were actually able to do more activity for the residents and have, you know, great participation, and you're going to see pictures and, you know, all the things that we were able to do. So other than that, there's no other question.
Okay. We'll start with COCC statement of operations. If you look at your slide presentation that came from the actual recovery plan committee meeting, it showed that for 2014, we were a little bit better than break even, $2,300 above. If you look at this COCC statement of operation, it goes through period ending November 30th. So as of November 30th, COCC actually broke even because it took less money from cash on hand than was anticipated by the initial budget that was approved for 2014. If you go to the balance sheet for Central Office Cost Center, you will see that there are some receivables for Youth Bill, Department of Labor 2014, also from 21st Century. We were able to submit the draw request for Youth Bill, but the access came in after December 31st. So I can't look on the account right now and tell you that the Youth Bill draws have been funded. I'll have to get with the accountants because I have a different level of view from the executive level to be able to tell you whether or not in a live statement if those draws were actually funded yet. But as far as the HUD draws that we put in, like for Ross, $17,000, that was funded. And yes, if you put in your request for operational dollars, on the 30th day of the month, like we did after the recovery meeting, it actually hit in December. I looked in the account, pulled the December 31st, 2014 statement, and you can see all four of that operational cash coming in before the end of the year. So HUD, as quickly as we get it in, they'll approve the funding.
Yeah, that was good.
So it's just the state.
Yeah, that was one thing they pointed out at our meeting. They had some issues with who was authorized to draw down, and now there was only one person, and then they had to redo it. So now we've got more than one person authorized to draw down on these things. So.
Yeah, and one other big major difference is that when you submit a draw request to HUD, you know, if you have, say, one portion of the draw, like needs some agreement on that, they'll approve the part they can approve and then say, okay, but I can't approve this part until you give me the public documentation. Where the state, they reject the whole drawing.
Oh, I see.
So, and what that thing is, not fair and all of that, but it is what it is for right now.
And then if you just look at the changes in cash for the Central Office Cost Center, everything is normal, all the accounts are positive. Beginning and ending balance. So if you have no questions regarding COCC, I'll go ahead to the Section 8 program. And again, the Section 8 program is break even as of November 30th. If you look at the accounts receivables in the balance sheet, you'll notice that every place where Section 8 is anticipating to receive payable back is within the section, the various Section 8 programs. So that's not an issue. And then looking to see, I think there's a I was going to say one thing that you'll see in next month's financials is that there was a due to, due from for Section 8, over $300,000. Yeah, we actually, in December, we were actually able to pay back $165,000 of that to public housing. So that's something to look forward to seeing in the upcoming report. Apparently, the balance, we weren't, even though we had the cash, the Section 8 program wasn't able to fund it because apparently the prior administration had gone to the prior board and gotten permission to actually make a gift to the Section 8 program. So HUD forced us to do a gift with that, but the $165,000 we were able to pay back to public housing. And again, on the Section 8 cash report, before we had an issue with the cash operating one account because it had a negative balance, but as you see, as of November 30th, all the balances for all four accounts are positive. Okay, public housing, when you factor, when you take depreciation out, it still has a positive cash flow. The issue is actually when you factor in depreciation. When you look at the increased fee for public housing, a lot of that is due to having to pay out FTO for people who worked in public housing that actually were part of the RIF. And here's where you see it. If you look on the balance sheet, if you see due from Section 8, it's $345,744. Like I said, $165,000 of that was paid back in December. And so that's something to look forward to seeing in next month's report. And again, all of your balances for the various section, various public housing accounts are positive beginning and ending balances. Looking at Carrington Place, again, yes, I know. I was going to say all of the properties are basically positive. And when you look at their accounts receivable, the only thing that stands out for Carrington Place is the fact that capital funds actually owes Carrington Place $17,500, which we'll make sure we get that paid back. The money's paid. It's in the public housing account. It just needs to be transferred to Dakota Park. So that's something you'll see, that receivable go away with the next month's report. Again, all of the cash balances, beginning and ending balances for the various accounts are positive. Renaissance, again, if you weren't factoring in depreciation, you would have positive cash flow. Nothing that pretty much stands out for that property. Yeah, I was going to say basically same thing for Colton and Bonnet, but what I wanted to do is take you to Bartow so that when you look at Bartow's cash position, if you look at their operating account, there's that $215,000 that I'm talking about that we have been carrying over from operations 2012, 2013. In 2014, all they would let us take was $63,000 in fees. But that cash is sitting there in the property. And then there's no new information, really the report on the grant report. We have fully expended the Ross 2013 grant, which now will allow us to start building down on the 2014 grant, which consists of both the FSS for public housing as well as the FSS for Section 8.
Okay. Mallory, I know we have in the reserve replacements there at Bartow, we've got $138,000. Do we have a projection as to how far out that we plan on these replacement items?
Bartow's a little different because we only have project-based Section 8 units. There's no public housing, so we weren't forced to do a green physical needs assessment. So again, when you look at what we're holding in replacement reserves, it's based on the commitments that we made at the time of the tax credit deal. But the items that we replaced the most have been the form. We did go back to the state to ask permission to change the lure to allow us to have a hard surface instead of carpet in areas. But that's been the biggest thing that we've had to
do. The replacement reserve for the first 5 years allow us to replace appliances, carpet, some flooring, some AC units. Then after year five, then the monthly replacement reserve escrow amount goes up, and every 5 years goes up. So at the 20-year mark, then you have money to replace the roofs and windows and different. So we do have a plan that was done when they were doing the performance. But every year, we have to submit a budget to the investors, the same budget that we provided the board, and they were happy with, you know, what we were proposing. Again, floors, painting, AC units, fridge, stoves, normal stuff.
Okay.
Roof, and so far, because the
roof generators,
is flowing,
roofs, generators, we have a generator over there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Renaissance Senior Building and West Bartow, they have a main generator to work the elevators and the main lights.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being proactive in being assertive with the amount of money that we would like to get from this, from Bartow, what's a good figure that we would want to say, or what would we base it on? Would we base it on all the factors of the existing equipment and the life of the stuff?
All the other investors, if we had $215,000 in cash flow, they would let us take it. They don't have a minimum. They said, oh, that's surplus cash, go ahead and take it. And then you start the year over. Bartow has been different. I'm thinking part of the issue with Bartow is that's one of the ones that happened during the subprime mortgage crisis, and they didn't get the tax credits on the dollar that they were supposed to get. So I feel like that investor just holds on to money a whole lot tighter. But everyone else, whatever's left in that SR1, they have let us take. That's why Colton and Bonnet have been so successful in paying down deferred developer fees, because we actually zero it out.
Yeah. And what I do every year, when the year is over and the audits are done, I do a calculation for every property, and I kind of calculate, estimate how much money we're supposed to get. For every property, we were able to get close to what I estimated, but not with Bartow. With Bartow was actually half of what I estimated. So yeah, that's something that we need to work on.
What gives him the latitude to do what he's doing?
Yeah.
If you don't complain, you know,
it's probably in their agreement.
Yeah, it is.
Well, no, that's what I'm asking. Yeah, I mean, is it latitude in the agreement?
Yeah, read the fine print, huh?
We can always
read the fine
print,
right?
Yeah. But you may expose the agency to, or the management company to, them not approving something in the future. So sometimes you have to, it takes time to, you know.
And we've had a third-party consultant who's been working with the investors, mm-hmm. talk to them, and they have both years advised us, okay, just go ahead and take what they get, see if we can get some later. Mm-hmm. I think the difference now is BDO is so much bigger than this, you know, other consultant. That, and they deal with a lot of different PHAs and...
But they got to come up to make the argument for us.
Yeah, so...
But in the contract, they have the latitude. I mean, they can do what they're doing. It's not they're making their own rules. It's actually what we agreed upon.
Right, actually.
So,
yeah, no, we're not going to try and change the terms of it.
Oh, no, that's what I mean. Yeah. That's what I was asking. I didn't know if he was doing this upon himself, you know, withholding the money, or it's in the contract that he can do it.
So. Yeah. But one of the things is always talking about consulting, no disrespect. is that they'll do whatever you let them get away with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's
well, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what I was asking.
They will.
At least ask the question.
Yeah.
You know, so we're going to start asking the question. Yeah,
exactly. Good.
At least we should push them to the limits that we can within the guidelines of the contract.
Yeah. Exactly.
We might be giving them some wiggle room there.
Yeah.
Even if we didn't take the 215, if we did.
Yeah.
Right.
150. Take 150 of it. Still leave the 65.
So he's doing everything within he can do. Yeah, that's just I want to make sure he wasn't making his own rules.
It will if you let him.
Yeah, he will. Hey, if you can get away with it, do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, and then for the rest of the administration, report is submitted as written.
Okay. Anyone have any other questions, comments? Okay. There are no resolutions today. Not even any walk-on resolutions.
Walk on.
We don't need none. No.
that last section.
Legal
kind of
report.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that last section kind of thin.
Well, I would wish y'all a happy New Year, but I sent you a card.
right?
Watching those billable hours.
And the only thing that is still dangling, although the proper things are being dealt with, but we went way up the road on the ED evaluation, and we just kind of let it go. And soon we'll be back to another.
Did we approve that or something?
We approved it. We didn't take any action on implementing it.
We approved the policy.
We're almost up on another.
The format.
Yeah, we're almost at the point where we got to do it anyhow. So.
Well, we do. The problem is we had more important things to be looking at.
I agree. I'm just keeping it in front of you because, like I said, we'll be back to another evaluation period.
Right. Can you? I don't know who has it anymore. Can you send that out to everyone again so everyone can have it and we can take care of it in next month's meeting? I mean, you're working on an agency that's under recovery. You're working on what's more important, you know, rather than picking the right battles, as he said, trying to get us into a successful mode rather than anything else. So I think we should, you know, decide on that by next meeting. So please send it out to everyone so we can take care of that.
Were you talking about performing one or actually implementing? I mean, I'm just trying to make sure I understood.
We came up with a format.
I remember that.
And I don't think we ever collected the evaluation. I actually have one evaluation I've had for 2 months, 3 months. Because Commissioner Saunders insisted on me taking hers.
Oh, so you wanted us to complete it. Okay, that's what
I'm
asking.
We never got to finalization.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
I didn't
And let me say that aside from the crap that Mr. Stevenson made about consultants, he didn't ask me to bring this up. It's just one of the checkoffs. I had known he was going to bring that up. I just forgot about it.
I mean, because evaluation, when we're actually, you know, Ben's our employee.
That's right.
It is very important to keep him abreast of what we think, where we need to move, and what improvement, and what he's been doing well.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I know we are crunched on a lot of very crucial things, but we, I guess we should also, you know, give him the guidance and he deserves as one of our employees.
You're right.
Yeah, it's, unless you're only employed, but it's fair.
Yes.
It's fair, and it doesn't necessarily translate into money. It's feedback.
That's right.
And
that's
then
right.
You decide what you want to do with
it. Okay. Thank you.
We
appreciate you bringing that up.
We go home and watch football.
Yeah, he's early.
Just want to point out the next
game today
is February 16th. Mm-hmm. It is a holiday, but we don't observe it, so we can be.
You mean President's Day? You don't want to observe Mr. President's Day? Okay, I'll punch that in. Then, legal report is over, no resolutions.
It's too early.
Then,
Patrick
has one.
She was
here.
No, I saw her
signing.
I didn't know she was like public
former. Oh, he's going to check to see if that is
an
actual
date. Yeah,
it is. You do observe that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Do you do observe? We can still show up. We will happily show up. We'll get double time and a half to be there.
You're okay with that, right?
But we don't want to pay counsel. Right?
Oh, we just don't need him.
So you have me without me.
Two bottles of water and a half, right?
Two bottles of water and a half.
We talked about going to Monday holidays. We talked about changing that meeting day.
I remember Evans brought that up one time.
That's right. November.
You know, Commissioner DeCesare did bring that up in November's meeting about the holidays. That's that right. We were supposed to be proactive, and they were supposed to be changed.
We were supposed to change the day.
What happened with
how many,
that?
How many more holidays come on Monday? That's going to affect our meeting.
February 17th. I think the error we made was that we didn't consider President's Day, because I don't think we knew at that time we were closed on President's Day. I guess we didn't look that close. So we can check that manual like he did.
That's okay.
Then can we have for the next meeting just a detail, whatever meetings that we're having that on a Monday to have the alternate dates. So we don't, because that's what we were supposed to have last year in the last quarter of the year. That was we're going to have this, we're not going to have this problem, and here we go. We're walking. We're walking through that same puddle that we got wet with last
year. Well, do you all want to do like we had 2 to 17?
There was a proposal made as to what we were going to do, and when that did happen.
Yeah, there was.
When these Mondays, excuse me, I'm sorry. When these Mondays, the holiday would fall, the meeting would be the Monday before or the Monday after. Depending on if legal counsel was available to come, if not, Rhonda would come. It's in a minute.
Okay, so what's your preference? Monday before or Monday after?
Does a Monday before cause any conflict on
the
preparing the reports?
The 23rd.
I'm just asking. For benefit of staff, does that?
Well, I would say from a finance perspective, I think it's early only because you got reports due for bonding and culture.
February is really.
Yeah.
So
I would rather
bond
do
after the 23rd?
It would be the 23rd.
It would be the 23rd.
The 23rd.
So is everyone good with that? Do you have the calendars?
I don't have my calendar, but I think I'm good.
I'm good.
Thank you, man.
When did I do on the 17th?
I have a legal counsel.
I have a San Ronda. Yeah. Do y'all refer to 17th? Or y'all
the 23rd might conflict with another board meeting that I have.
So yeah, that Tuesday the 17th, was that good?
17th would work for me. I don't know what it is.
That's a Tuesday evening.
Tuesday the 17th is fine with me. I don't have any conflict right now.
Which I can do either one.
I'm open right now. I'm open.
Yeah. Okay.
Good
with me. Well, both of the majority of the board is good on
17th.
Let's do it.
17th. Yep.
Okay.
17th. So we'll go to 17th.
But as Chairman Pimentel said, we need one, the calendar for the year.
Yeah. Sure. We still need.
We'll email that out to you and we'll post it on the website.
Okay. Okay, if that's it, then if there's no other issues, any other things, and I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Washington.
Minimum adjournment at 6:50.
Well, maybe that new format is the reason why we were doing it. Yeah.
Because we didn't keep jumping around.
That's right.